Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is John Hunter Nemechek from Nimco Motorsports, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the May 21st edition of Speedway Digest, Thursday Night Thunder. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Michael Lally and myself will be talking IndyCar, Pirelli World Challenge, IMSA, and more. Our first guest on the program this evening is Jonathan Bomarito, who competes in the SpeedSource Mazda SkyActiv prototype in the United Sports Car Series. After much success in karting and 2 years driving in Grand Am Cup, Jonathan Bomarito moved to Formula Ford 2000 USA in 2003 and won the championship that year. The next year, he moved to the Atlantic Championship and finished 9th in points. The following year, he captured his first series win and finished 5th in the championship. 2007 saw him finishing 5th again, winning at San Jose. In 2008, he was the Atlantic Series runner-up, capturing 3 victories. He also competed in the 24 Hours of Daytona in 2005, 2008, and 2009. In 2010, Bomarito was a regular driver of the Grand Am Rolex Sports Car Series, driving a Mazda RX-8 GT. He achieved 2 wins, including a class win at the 24 Hours of Daytona, and 5 podiums, finishing 4th in the championship. Bomarito finished 5th in the standings in the GT Class Drivers' Championship in 2011 and 2012, with 1 win and 4 podiums in both seasons. He also competed in the Petit Le Mans with the Dodge Viper GTS. In 2013, Bomarito became SRT Motorsports' official driver in the American Le Mans Series, in an SRT Viper GTSR, and with Kuno Whitmer as co-driver, he scored 2 podiums, finishing 13th in the Drivers' Championship in the GT class. The team also contested in the 24 Hours of Le Mans, with Tommy Kendall as the third driver, where they finished 9th in class. In 2015, Bomarito once again returned to the Mazda team, where he has helped continue development of their SkyActiv prototype. We'd now like to welcome Jonathan Bomarito to the program. Hello, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
How do you think the season's gone so far, and what are your goals for this year?
Everything's gone great so far. It's kind of no secret we've had our little bit of ups and downs, but we just came off our best finish of the year at Mazda Raceway, finishing 6th overall. And it was a great event for us. Everybody's getting better. Our Mazda SkyActiv diesel is making more and more power every weekend, becoming more and more reliable, and it's a big learning curve, but everybody is working really hard. The whole SpeedSource crew is fantastic, and we're looking forward to the rest of the year. We have a lot of bright things to come.
What advice would you give someone thinking of pursuing a career in motorsports?
I guess the biggest thing that I've learned over the years and, biggest piece of advice is to be persistent. Don't take no for an answer, and you have to be at the track. If you're out of sight, out of mind. So you have to walk the paddock, meet people. This is a relationship business, and the more you can be in front of the people making those decisions on what driver to choose, the better chances you'll have to become a professional driver. It's a long road, but if you want it bad enough, I truly believe that if you work at it hard enough, you will get an opportunity, and then it's what you make of that opportunity.
How do you feel that the United Sports Car Racing Series has done so far in regards to the balance of performance and in general?
I think it's a hard job. I don't think I would want that job. I don't think you can ever really make everybody happy, but I think they've done a great job this year balancing the P2 cars and the DPs. The Shank P2 car has been very strong, competitive compared to the top DP car. So, from what I've heard, I don't see anybody complaining about it. Our pace, we haven't been in the mix yet to really see the balance of performance for our cars, but as we get closer, I think it's pretty good, honestly.
I know the car performed really well at the Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca, but what track are you looking forward to for the rest of the 2015 schedule?
Yeah, Mazda Raceway, for obvious reasons, being a Mazda prototype, my hometown, was my, you know, the track that I was really looking forward to the most this year, but we have a great schedule to come. Road Atlanta at the end of the year, Road America coming up pretty soon, 6 hours of the Glen, Circuit of the Americas. I mean, we have just a tremendous schedule. So I would probably say the 10-hour event at Road Atlanta is my next one that I'm looking forward to the most, but we really do have an amazing schedule.
What's your opinion of the unified rules package that's announced for 2017? And do you think that Mazda will be able to adapt to those rules and succeed in the series?
I'm very excited about the new rules package for 2017. I think having that equal playing field again for everybody, the cars and the, you know, that whole package is very exciting. So I think it's going to be great personally, and I know Mazda is already starting to develop and plan for 2017 so we can come out swinging and be one of the top teams at the first race, 24 Hours of Daytona 2017.
I'd now like to throw it out to Michael Mullally in Freda, Washington, who has about 5 questions for you as well.
All right.
What is your favorite racing memory?
Favorite racing memory, probably 2010, winning the 24 Hours Daytona with Speed Source in a Mazda RX-8 GT car. It was an incredible when you work so long and so hard over 24 hours of racing and to come out on top. It was an incredibly special memory.
What is your favorite thing about being a race car driver?
Whew, that's hard to pinpoint just one. I think I have a dream job for sure. I love everything about being a driver. I mean, the adrenaline, but the calming, and once you put your helmet on, that, you know, it's just you in that car, man and machine, working with the team and the engineers. It's it's definitely grabbed me, and I'm addicted. It's definitely a love for me.
If you weren't a race car driver, what do you think you would be doing?
Whew, I don't know. That's a pretty scary thought. I don't know what I would be doing. I coached at a racing school for a lot of years, so I would probably still be doing driver instruction and coaching. I mean, just motorsport in general is a passion of mine. So if I wasn't able to be in the race car driving as a profession, I would still surround myself in the industry somehow or another.
When you have time, what other forms of racing do you follow?
I like following all forms of racing, really, MotoGP, Formula One, IndyCar, follow NASCAR some as well. So I'm just a motorsport fan in general, V8 supercars, DTM, I like them all.
In your opinion, what is the toughest part about your job?
The toughest part is it's very mental, driving a race car, especially in endurance racing. Staying focused for, you know, a 2 or 3 hour stint, taking a few hours off, and then having to go do that same thing again. So that the unknown, also being a race car driver, like a lot of professional sports, is you don't know when your career is going to be over. Whether it's hard to have a ride year after year, so the unknowing of what you're doing from year to year is very tough as a race car driver as well.
So obviously you're pretty busy right now, but have you ever had the opportunity to do any other types of racing, like dirt track racing or anything like that?
I have not. My background is all road course background, started in go-karts and formula cars and now sports cars. I would love to do other forms of racing as well, but right now the opportunities that have come my way have all been road courses.
What is how should I ask this? What is your favorite part about the car that you drive, like the car that you race? What is your favorite part about that car?
Yeah, the Mazda prototype is a lot of fun, and my favorite part is the downforce. It makes a lot of downforce, so the faster you go, the more grip you have, and it's always that, you know, trusting the grip level in those high-speed corners. So the downforce is probably my favorite part about the car.
I know you competed with James Hinchcliffe as your teammate in Daytona. How do you feel about the issues they've had in Daytona and testing prior to the Indy 500 so far?
Oh, I mean, my heart goes out to James so far. I wish him a speedy recovery. He's a tough guy and a true racer. I'm sure he's going to get back out as soon as he's able. So, you know, and just the race in general, you know, some of the cars flipping over, I wish those guys, all of them, a safe race on Sunday. We'll be watching and rooting them on, and I know they're all professionals, and they're going to get through it and put on a great show for all of the fans.
We have time for a couple of questions for Jonathan Bomarito. So if you're interested in asking him a question yourself, please call in now to 215-383-3681. Number again, 215-383-3681. I know you mentioned that you've most of your experience has been formula cars and that sort of thing. Did you ever consider racing in the IndyCar series yourself?
Yeah, that's actually the path that I was going for a lot of years. I, you know, came up Formula Ford, Formula Mazda, the Mazda Atlantic series, and it was right, my kind of end of my Atlantic series was right when the whole Champ Car IRL merger happened, and there was a very limited opportunity to move up to the next level, and thankfully Mazda gave me a chance to run the 24 Hours of Daytona with them in a sports car, and I took it, and from there, I got an opportunity to run a full season with them. And, you know, Mazda has been kind of my savior in racing, and a lot of up-and-coming drivers that they've taken their ladder guys and moved them through all the levels of racing and given them a shot at the top. So, you know, very thankful for what Mazda's done for my career and for a lot of young racers out there.
I know there's going to be a little break in the schedule now. There's some drivers who are considering running, and some of them are going to be running in the 24 Hours of Le Mans. Are you going to be heading over to France to watch the race there?
I will not be heading over there this year. I got the privilege to drive there in 2013. What an amazing experience, and hopefully I can be headed back there someday soon with Mazda, but not this year. If there's any fans out there that have that race on their bucket list, I recommend it. It's quite the experience.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program this evening and wish you lots of luck with Mazda for the rest of the season and beyond.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Once again, that was Jonathan Bomarito, driver of the Mazda Skyactiv prototype for Speed Source in the Tudor Championship Series. So how was your race this past weekend at the Freda Raceway? I know you had some issues with overheating problems and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun. I got to hit some people. Not on purpose, but it happens, I guess. But yeah, it was fun. I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. Actually, believe it or not, I did lead some laps, and then the car started to overheat, and I was like, oh, man. So it was kind of disappointing towards the end, but all in all, it was a pretty good night. The rest of the racing was pretty cool, too. So it's nice when Ifreda has good races like that that really showcase the racing there.
That's good. When's your next race out there?
in about, I want to say 2 weeks, I think.
So are you ready to watch the big weekend of racing? They've got the Grand Prix of Monaco, the 500, and the Coke 600 this weekend.
I am ready to watch some racing. I feel like the past week has led up to, I don't know, all of this, and I'm ready to, actually, I wish it was on right now.
Actually, they did have practice this afternoon on I believe it was on Fox Sports. They have additional practice going on tomorrow. I know that because of the ABC coverage of Indianapolis, the ESPN thing, they don't have as much practice and qualifying on about that, but they do have the Freedom 100 tomorrow afternoon. I think it's on shortly after noon on ESPN. I think it's ESPN 2, but I'm not certain about that. So be sure to check that out. That should be a good race as well. Set your DVR and all that.
What race? Sorry. I almost choked. Yeah.
That's all.
But anyways,
good.
Yeah. What race are you most looking forward to this weekend?
Good question. I think that the Indy 500 should be interesting, but that I didn't really get into it too much with our last guest. I'll get into it a little bit more with the next one. But the cars actually qualified 6 miles an hour slower than they did last year. And a lot of that, I think, was an overabundance of caution that I don't think was necessary. But it should be interesting to see how the Indy 500 comes. And the Coke 600 is always interesting, but that's just like a lot of the really long races. It ends up being really exciting at the very beginning, and then there's a big block of nothing, and then it's really everybody trying to race for the checkered flag at the end. So it'll be interesting to see how that comes out too. And then, of course, the Grand Prix of Monaco, the Formula One race, that's on, I believe it's on first thing in the morning. That's always interesting to see, even though I haven't been following Formula One as much as I probably should have this year, even though especially since I talked to some former Formula One drivers on the program here who are now Formula E guys. But that's always an interesting program.
Shame on you for not following.
It's horrible, isn't it? Next weekend, I'm going to be heading down to another live race, though. I'll be going down to the Red Bull Global Rallycross event, which we talked about a little bit last week. That should be quite the event on the beach there in Fort Lauderdale. And I'm just waiting to get final details. Should be sent those on Monday afternoon, and I'll be able to tell you a little bit more about where the race is exactly on Thursday. And they still have tickets available, so go to the Red Bull Global Rallycross website, and you can pick up more information there. Should be quite the event. Definitely a little different, especially considering the races only last like 3.5 minutes for most of the heats in that racing. So
good for the
short attention span theater type people.
Yeah.
So how did you see any of the practice action from IndyCar? I know they've had the highlights on pretty much a couple of days, the ones with the major accidents that they've had. I talked a little bit briefly about the issue with the James Hinchcliffe there. That's really insane, because he had the one of the pieces of the suspension failed on the car. It had, according to the investigation, had 14,000 miles on the piece of equipment, which is a long, long time for a race car piece to be on there. And the piece failed, and the car jammed into the wall, and the whole suspension arm pierced through his right leg, pierced through his left leg, and stopped when it hit his pelvis. So that would hurt quite a bit.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be my idea of fun getting impaled in a race car. But
no, probably not.
Apparently, he lost a lot of blood. It was messy, and he But he's out of ICU now. He's actually in, I believe he'd be released from the hospital. He hasn't been already. And he'll be just on the long road to recovery there. But it isn't like the Kyle Busch thing where he broke bones. It's just having a big carbon fiber piece jammed through you. That's not very much fun. And that's a lot of muscle healing. There probably be a lot of the physical therapy and all that. But I'm pretty sure he'll be right back to racing next season, if not before the end of this year. And I'm also pretty sure that I think that his first race will probably be the 24 Hours of Daytona next year. Because that's a good way to get back into the rhythm of motorsports.
I wonder, obviously I'm sure a lot of people wonder, and I'm sure there's probably a logical explanation maybe. But I wonder why he used that part for so long.
Well, they've said that the part actually it was a lighter weight than the next generation part that replaced it, and I think that in IndyCar especially weight is a big deal. So it is in all auto racing, of course, but in IndyCar especially, and it was still working, it was still fine, and it weighed a little bit less than the other parts of the car, so that. One, every little teeny bit helps, and apparently it was just time for it to fail, and it failed in a big way.
Yeah.
They said the impact was 100, in excess of 190 Gs when he hit the wall.
Holy gosh.
Hopefully that's the last accident they've had. They'll have in Indianapolis, and it'll be a safe race this weekend. And it's always a good thing when they have a nice, safe event. It's not the best when they have that sort of problem. And it's never a good thing when the only attention the race gets is bad attention. But I actually had a discussion earlier today that I think that the bad attention will bring a larger TV audience on Sunday because everybody's been seeing the crashes there. They saw the big crash with Hedler Castroneves where he flew up through the air and kicked his car. Of course, they saw the highlights of the one with the lift there the other day, and the one with Pippa Mann, and the one with Ed Carpenter that caused all the adjustments in qualifying procedure. So, and none of the accidents really, they're all a little bit different, and I think a lot of them are just racing deals, or that sort of thing where people are pushing the car as hard as they can go and something fails. But the IndyCar people, in my opinion, of course, the IndyCar people seem a little gun-shy. They're a little afraid of lawsuits. They're a little afraid of the pieces of the car flying up into the grandstand. And they're deathly afraid of people, of somebody, one of the drivers getting seriously hurt, if not killed. And hopefully their fears are not justified, but you never know. And I don't think that the fact that their current management structure is a little off, too. They've got the head of Hellman & Company, which is a department store, which owns the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The Hellman family has owned the track for a long time. But the head of the Hellman & Company is the guy who seems to be pulling most of the strings for IndyCar right now. And I don't think that having a glorified sales guy being the head of a major motorsports organization is the best way for them to go. But that is the way they're going. That's the way the money goes, and that's the way it is sometimes. But they have to do something different. They have to try and improve the series and make it look like it's competitive and safe. And that's the balancing act they have to deal with in that way. Who's your pick for the winner of the? Let's start with the Coke Zero 600 or the Coke 600, whether Coca Cola 600 at the Charlotte Motor Speedway.
That's tough. I am gonna go with. know what? I'm going to go with Joey Logano.
You think the 500-mile win earlier in the season will help him get the extra 100 miles there in Charlotte?
Yeah. Well, hopefully. I think he's having a good season, so I think that'll definitely help.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Jeff Gordon, just because it's probably his last race there at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, especially with the announcement they made today that he's going to be the new voice of NASCAR next season on Fox Sports. So that should be interesting. But I'm picking Jeff Gordon. He's done really well at the track before, and he'll probably do really well at the track this weekend. If he doesn't, then that won't be a very good thing. But I think he's having a little bit of an off year, and he deserves to get a little bit better. And the biggest race of the year, arguably, would be a good place to do that. Who's your pick for the Indy 500? Or don't you have any preference for the Indianapolis 500-mile race? Personally, I think the Indy 500 winner will probably be somebody from Team Penske, but I think that it'll be interesting to see Ryan Briscoe do very well there, because he's the guy who's taken over for Hinchcliffe there in the car, and Briscoe has had a interesting career, to say the least, in the past couple of years in IndyCar, and it'll be good for him to do really well. I don't know if he has a winning car, but I know he probably has a top 10 car, and it should be pretty impressive to see him. Be really impressive if he makes it to victory lane, especially in a one race deal. But it could turn into a several race deal, especially with the fact that Hinchcliffe will probably be out for the rest of the season.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the Indy 500 is going to be crazy.
I think it's generally crazy most of the time, but the fact that they've been bouncing off the walls a lot in practice doesn't necessarily bode well for the race on Sunday. And also the fact that they had the major crash on lap one of the race there 2 weeks ago, that's not a good thing yet.
Yeah. Wasn't there usually almost like with the Daytona 500, there's usually, almost always, one big crash throughout the race, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Usually like that with the Indy 500, too. There's usually almost always at least one big crash.
Mm-hmm. In some cases, there's more than one, and they're really, really highlight reel-worthy crashes. They're ones that your little nephew would enjoy. And I'm not going to even attempt to pick any winners for Monaco, although I'd like to see Lewis Hamilton do well, just because he's kind of an interesting character, and he's had a fairly dominant year so far in Formula One, and it's always good to see Lewis Hamilton in the front of the field.
Yeah. Well, I'll pick whoever you pick.
That makes it easy then. Our next guest this evening is a name that every motorsports fan should recognize. Kevin Buckler is the founder and CEO of TRG Aston Martin Racing North America. TRG, the Racers Group, and Adobe Road Winery, and is a professional race car driver in his own right. Buckler started his racing career experimenting with a wide variety of vehicles growing up in Southern California car culture of the 1970s. He began a professional racing career at the California Grand Prix in 1995, where he entered his brand new Racers Group built 1970 Porsche 911 and won the race. He has more than 100 professional starts with numerous pole positions, podium finishes, and victories. Notable highlights include wins at the Rolex 24 at Daytona in 2002 and 2003, winning overall, but from the GT class, a feat previously done in 1973 and not done again since, as well as the 2002 24 Hours of Le Mans and a recipient of the coveted Porsche World Cup. More recently, Kevin has led TRG to back-to-back Grand American Rolex GT Championships in 2005 and 2006. Including the Triple Crown in 2006, Drivers, Team, and Manufacturers Championships. In 2009, TRG finished a historic 1-2 at the Rolex 24 Daytona and was victorious again in 2011. The Racers Group has run a multi-car effort at Daytona since 1997 and is the only team to ever run a five-car team successfully for 8 straight years. After much success in the professional world of sports car racing, Buckler joined the ranks of NASCAR team owners by forming TRG Motorsports. After a successful stint in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series in 2008, he forged ahead with his goal of contending in the Sprint Cup Series and successfully competed in the Top Series for 3 full seasons.
More recently, Kevin and his company have taken the reins of Aston Martin Racing in North America, and Kevin heads the new organization as its CEO. The new partnership with Aston Martin Racing competes in all the major racing series with multiple teams, manages and supports all customer programs, marketing, merchandising, transport, maintenance, and even an Aston Martin specific, I'm going to skip that part. Program for corporate clients and customers. Today, Kevin manages his multi-car professional race teams and motorsports businesses from the Northern California location. He balances this love of speed with another driving passion, wine. Kevin and the Adobe Road Wine team take the same painstaking preparation and attention to detail used in his motorsports ventures and applies it to the careful and meticulous crafting of his award-winning Adobe Road wine, utilizing some of the finest vineyards in Northern California. Adobe Road has become one of the hottest new boutique producers coming out of Sonoma and Napa counties. Over the past several years, Kevin has transformed a corner of his Sonoma County location into a state-of-the-art winemaking facility, as well as opening a beautiful new tasting room, on the historic downtown square in Sonoma. The winery continues to grow with strong recognition and outstanding scores from the Wine Spectator and other publications host incredible wine dinners and events throughout the country. And Adobe Road is now proudly featured in some of the finest restaurants in North America. When not at the racetrack, he enjoys spending time with his wife, his family, wife, Deborah, and 3 daughters and friends. His interests include water sports, snow skiing, tennis. Kevin was a 5.0 nationally ranked player in winemaking / collecting.
We'd now like to welcome Kevin Buckler to the program. Hello, thanks
for
coming on.
Hey, thanks
a lot. Not too bad.
That was a nice intro. Thank you so much.
No problem. First off, why did you first get involved in motorsports?
I was a Southern California kind of a car culture kid from the 70s, and it sort of struck and stuck when I sort of left the nest and went off on my own. I always had something to do with cars, no matter where I was working or doing anything. And, you know, I remember the very first time I was ever on a track after spending a year or two just hitting all the local autocrosses and really enjoying the need for speed, so to speak. I was up at Road America and, you know, beautiful facility, 3 long, epic straightaways, and I was in my little Porsche 911 Cabrio Carrera driving down the back stretch going, yeah, this is great. And so I think I got kind of hooked, and eventually when we moved back out here to California and I'd sold the business I was involved in, it was a choice, and I wanted to follow my passion, and that's what we did. It was in 1992.
You've raced IMSA, NASCAR, and now you're in the Pirelli World Challenge. What's your opinion of the state of racing in the 21st century?
Yeah, you know, we're in a magic moment in time right now. The first time I've seen anything like this, and we've had ups and downs in all the different forms of racing, but professional sports car racing right now, and GT racing in particular, is hot. And I'm glad that we feel like we're a little bit on the cutting edge. We're definitely pushing the envelope in a lot of ways with the years and years of success and history with Porsche and then the team that works so hard here and now with Aston Martin. But it's a good time to be in sports car racing. It's healthy. You can see between the fact that the two major series a few years ago folded into one with the IMSA guys and the Grand Am guys, and then the Pirelli World Challenge guys really came of their own. And we just have, you know, it's a really fertile fishing ground for all sorts of GT racing around the country. I mean, even this coming week we'll be in Detroit, and we're running a true doubleheader. We're going back and forth between the Pirelli World Challenge paddock and the IMSA Tudor paddock and running in both races. So it's exciting. It's healthy. I think what the most important thing to me is like the days that we were in NASCAR, seeing it run as a business, we want to see sports car racing run that way as well. So corporate America looking at sports car racing as a great option for all the things they do with corporate marketing, you know, events, hospitality, et cetera. It's healthy right now.
What's your favorite racetrack?
You know, probably a little bit that Road America that I mentioned, which is in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, outside of, north of Chicago, outside of Milwaukee. Also, you know, I have to say my two local tracks here in Northern California, Laguna Seca and Sonoma. I think the common thread between all of them is their natural terrain road courses, not a fabricated course or an oval. And, you know, I would say from a historic perspective, Daytona, because we've done so well there, but Those three circuits are my favorites, with probably Road America at the top.
I know the Pirelli World Challenge has quite a group of drivers in it this year, but who's your pick for the champion in 2015?
Yeah, you know, it's got some real name brands at the front here. I mean, it's funny because I've got, Olivia Barrett has been, you know, he's been in everything and done everything, and Ryan Dial, same thing. It's great to see these guys running as a sort of a factory-style program at the front with different manufacturers. We gave Kevin Estor his first ever ride in a car in Daytona years ago, and everybody said, who? I said, that skinny little French kid over there. He's really fast. And they were like, who? And so Kevin's just been great. He's probably my pick just because we have history, and he's driven for us and for me many times. Great to see Ryan Eversley back in the seat. That's great. And then Mike Skeen is sort of a newcomer to the front ranks like that and getting a good ride. My guess is probably Kevin Estor or Johnny O, because Johnny's just so solid.
I know there's been quite a bit of talk recently about the huge drought you're suffering out there in California. Do you feel the changing climate will adversely affect the Adobe Road Winery as well as other vineyards in the state?
You know, it's hard because the drought is serious, but it doesn't affect our day-to-day lifestyle and stuff as it probably people think, and probably as it should. You know, I'm even encouraging things like my kids to cut back on time in the shower. I mean, you need to, because when you see the big, beautiful lakes like Lake Shasta down halfway, you know, this is an epic event where we're really down on water. A lot of the vineyards, though, the vines go deep, and, you know, our irrigation techniques are drip, so we don't rely on the rain as much, so it doesn't affect us as much. But, you know, everybody just needs to be careful, and hopefully it comes back.
I'd now like to throw it out to Michael Mullally in Afraid of Washington, who has a few questions for you as well.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, how are you?
Doing fine.
What is the toughest part about your job?
I think that probably the thing I should have seen but didn't really realize till it was too late is, you know, the commitment that we had to make to get this where we are. And when we started this, and I said to myself, my wife, my, you know, anybody that was with us when we started in 1992, if I ever work that hard again, when we sold our other business. I want to do it around something I love. Careful what we wish for. We went into motorsports and went into the winery, and but it is just, we're committed 24/7. I work 7 days a week. You know, it's the guys work really hard, and I think that's a little bit tough because I just never lift, and it kind of tasks everybody here. We've got a great group of guys we've assembled, guys and gals we've assembled here. So there's just never any time off, and you know, you feel like if you're competitive, you feel like if you do lift, you're going to get passed. So you want to win, you stay in, you know, all the time.
What is your favorite racing memory?
Fortunately, we've got a lot of them. I will say probably that whole week around the Daytona 2003 overall win. We had gone to Daytona, you know, that was our eighth time going. We'd gone there in 2002. We won our class first time, realized that we were ready for a big stage. And won Le Mans that year in 2002, which was crazy. Won the Porsche Cup and then came back to run the 24 Hours of Daytona and realized sort of mathematically a perfectly run race in GT, we would be challenging the other classes where I don't think anyone ever looked at that before. And, you know, we made a little pact together and said, you guys want to play it safe and smart and stay with our class, or do you want to go for it? And, you know, everyone uttered a couple of choice words and said, let's go for it. And we were flat out for the first 6 hours of the race and chasing the prototypes and trying to hang on. And I'll never forget when it went yellow for the first time and it was already dark, I looked up on the leaderboard and it was DP, 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 GT. Our car was still on the lead lap. And from that point forward, we never let go of those guys. So that whole chase for that struggle from the week get there and the 24 hours, I mean, we were just alive. And it was a great memory for the team and for everybody involved.
Of all the racing that you have participated in, which has been your favorite?
I do like the endurance racing format when you have a co-driver that you like being with, the kind of thing, you know, nowadays you hear stories, you know, co-drivers sometimes they're after each other, they want to one-up each other. When you have a really good teammate and you're pulling for him, you get out of the car, you tell him things that's going on with the car, and he gets in the car, and together as a team, I've always been in team sports. So I think that, you know, a really strong endurance racing format, maybe not the, you know, I love the long-distance races, but it might not be my favorite thing to subject us to all the time. I like GT racing. I like natural terrain road courses. I like challenging tracks, not simple. I wish the tracks were a little more challenging. Every time they make a change nowadays, they do it usually for legality or liability reasons, so it sort of dumbs down the difficulty and neuters the track a little bit. I liked a little more of the old days on some of these tracks. But I'm old school. I mean, I use the H pattern and heel and toe. It's funny, I send videos to our drivers that when we're trying to get used to new tracks, and they'll send me an email and say, what are you doing with your hands and feet? It's like, I say, that's called a stick shift. That was the dinosaur days. So, anyway.
What has been the most challenging part of your racing career?
Probably finding a balance. I was a driver for a long time, and that was a dream. And then finding that moment where I felt like, you know what, I think I'm just going to kind of step back. The company was busy, and I felt like I was losing opportunity on one side because I was driving on the other, and it's sort of like, what are you going to be here? Are you going to be a driver that the team never grows, or are you going to be a team owner that you can always choose to go back into the seat? And so I stepped aside in 2004, but I never really looked back because fortunately, you know, we were able to check all the boxes. It wasn't like I never won anything or didn't do the things I wanted to do. So I wake up in the morning hungry and competitive about growing the business. And so I think the most challenging is just balancing it between all the time we put in, you know, trying to, you know, make payroll and make everything work here, you know, dealing with manufacturer issues and dealing with balance of performance. It's just all of it. There's so many things going on. I always feel confident, though. I feel like we have such a good team in all the different departments that I feel like our team as a whole has a little bit of a competitive advantage over the other guys. You know, we do stuff here with business development and our corporate guys that I think a lot of the other teams don't do, so we're always set for opportunity. And then the competition guys are great. And so it's just balancing it all out and making it come out in the wash.
What advice would you give to a driver looking for sponsorship?
Really focus on being well-rounded. I get emails or resumes on my desk, and the next, you know, young buck getting out of go-karts looking for advice, and, you know, the first thing I'm looking at nowadays is, how did he get to me? How well is it crafted? How articulate is this person? I mean, nowadays it's no longer, you know, the days of Rush. You know, the guy with lots of glory and machismo can come in and get a ride. It's all about, a lot of times these guys even, you know, people even come with funding. And then when they come with funding, even then you've got to find the right driver, because you don't want somebody with funding that's going to be demeaning to your brand or something. It's not just about clipping the coupons anymore, especially at our level. So, you know, my advice is really develop yourself across the board in terms of the way you act, the way you speak, the way you integrate in today's social media, the way you are addressing sponsors, and really look and, you know, not pretend, be hungry. Of course, work on your driving, take advantage of everything. But if you're going to try to be a professional driver, you can't go half in. You know, you better be able to really focus on it. So, and the other thing is, don't go broke doing it. Don't drag your family into it. Try to do it on your own if you can. You know, I mean, family can help, but don't make it, make it a tough situation if things don't go well. Because, you know, for every one kid that makes it, 1,000 don't. So you just need to be careful. Be well balanced.
I know that some of the team owners in the sports car ranks have recently decided, or they've thought about moving into IndyCar in the future. Have you ever made that? Thought about making that leap?
I think it's the other way around, guys. I think we are a much more viable place to be doing business in the sports car paddock. I've never heard of anybody in our world that's in my world right now that's thinking about going into IndyCar. It's, you know, it's a little bit of the, I mean, I fantastic sport. Used to love watching, especially in its heyday. But you know, if someone's going to get in, just like with Sprint Cup, I mean, there's the haves and the have-nots, and you can't really pass that barrier. So. And it's difficult. I mean, we see corporate American sponsors coming our way that are involved in IndyCar that say, wow, your value proposition is much better. And the stuff you guys are doing with relationship marketing and corporate entertainment around a brand that we can understand and engage is much easier for us and our guests than saying, watching, you know, a nameless, faceless open wheel car go around. No knock or nothing different, because the sport is so, they've done such a great job, and the top teams do such a great job. But again, I think we, as a sports car team, from the value proposition, from the way that people can get around their brand, if it's Aston, it's Ferrari, it's Porsche, it's BMW, you have your favorites out there, and then it's up to us to try to rise to those ranks, because, you know, IndyCar and the top teams have set a high bar. But yeah, I haven't heard that. I say I think it's the other direction.
And who's your pick to win the Indy 500 this weekend? Do you pay any attention to that at all?
I don't, but I mean, I'll watch it. That race to us, that's a lot like Daytona. It's hard because there's so many curveballs that are thrown in, and somebody so good could get taken out so early that there's just a lot of. And I like it because it's a three dimensional chess game, right? I mean, it's not just flat out for 20 minutes and who's the fastest. So unfortunately, I don't have a good pick, and I want to sound, because there's probably 15 guys that could win the race this weekend.
Well, I'd like to wish you lots of luck for the rest of the season. Good luck in Detroit in that doubleheader. That should be quite the feat if you're able to pull it off. And hope you have all the success in the world this year.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We're leaving Detroit, packing our stuff up, hightailing it to Charlotte for literally 24 hours, and then we're sending eight cars in the air over to Le Mans, France, to run in the Aston Martin Festival that runs in conjunction with the 24 Hours of Le Mans. Just a crazy logistics. We have a semi right now on the sea in a container ship, 80,000-pound semi that's heading over there now, and then all the cars are flying over after Detroit. So it's going to be looking forward to a good year. And thanks for having me on and for talking a little bit about sports car racing.
Thank you very much for coming on. That was very informative. And have a great night.
You got it.
Once again, we'd like to thank Kevin Buckler for coming on the program. He was He was quite the person to talk to from the races group. He's had experience in virtually every form of motorsports out there, and he's firmly footed into the sports car world. Next week, we're going to have a quite the interesting show. We've got one of our first full tag team shows with two drivers on at once. That should be quite the program. I'm also working on a interview with David Reagan for the program. It's going to be a recorded interview, so it'll be broadcast on this program sometime in the future. I'm thinking probably the middle to end of June. Be like a 10-minute recorded interview, so that should be a little bit different. And there's also lots of other people who I'm working on having on the program in the next month or so. I've talked recently with some people from NASCAR. There's going to be a race preview from the Camping World Truck Series, one of the teams there. I believe I'm probably going to have Spencer Callagher back on the show again, and it should be interesting. Hopefully you'll all be around to listen to it. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I'd also like to invite you to read all the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. Also check out the racing news section down at the bottom there. There's a lot of stories about the IndyCar series, the Indy 500, the Freedom 100 tomorrow. There's also some preview stories about the racing in Fort Lauderdale next weekend, the Red Bull Global Rallycross event. Once again, I thank you for listening and look forward to seeing you next week in the Thunderdome, when we will welcome the drivers of Freedom Autosport, Liam Dwyer and Andrew Carbonell, as well as the newest driver from Larson Motorsports Stable, Jake Elliott. Thank you for listening, and have a great week.